Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
I remember the time and the place when I first started using drugs. At first, it was fun, just kind of fitting in with everybody. And I thought I could control stopping at any time, but I couldn't stop. Drugs became a way of life for me. I remember the day, February 6th of 2015, when my life changed radically. I had heard about Jesus. I knew who Jesus was. But what I didn't know was that he loved me, even though he knew everything about my life. Today, I have complete freedom from all drugs, from all addictive things. My name is Cindy, and I am living free.
We believe that you can live free. And we're launching a series, and it just happened to be that, we knew, hey, it's 4th of July weekend, number one, happy 4th of July. But we believe that Independence Day, as great as that is for us to celebrate that in America, the greatest Independence Day on the history of the planet is the one where you were a slave to sin, but you came to know God, and God sets you free. And that's the greatest Independence Day. And however, there are some of us that have what I would call retirement benefits out of this world. We have life insurance. We know if we die, we're going to heaven. That's pretty good life insurance, isn't it? Okay, you got health benefits. He heals all your diseases. But there's some of us that aren't experiencing all that a relationship with God that can have. And so we're doing a series called Living Free for that very purpose. But before I launch into the series and go to the Word of God, I want to point out a couple things. On your worship guide, number one, we hope you take notes. We hope you, we actually have 3-ring binders coming for the fall. And we're going to redo kind of how we do here. So there'll be 3 holes in here. You can actually begin to categorize these and put them in a binder. And so if you come for a year, 2 years, 3 years, military, and you're here for 3 years, you'll walk away with 3 years of series categorized there. And you can go back and study topics and things like that. We believe a short pencil is better than a long memory. Okay? And so taking notes, you can go back and go back to something is important. And so we want to encourage you to take notes, and that's why we do the worship guide. But on the bottom of the worship guide, if you prayed today before communion because you said, you know, I want to make sure I'm a part of, have a relationship with Jesus, that's not just a flippant prayer you pray. We want to partner with you and walk with you on the journey in this relationship with Jesus. And so if you would help us out, we want to help you. And so if you just put your, on the bottom of the worship guide, just put your name, your email, phone number, and check the box, I made a decision to follow Jesus today. And tear that off. And at the end of our gathering, when we receive the Lord's tithes and offerings, just drop that in the bucket. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. We have a team that's going to pray over you. We have a team that's going to call and connect and email and help you with the next steps in this journey with Jesus. And so fill that out. And also, it's a great place on the bottom of here if you want to be water baptized or you want to join the prayer team. We have about 200 people we email all the prayer needs out to every week. Just check that box, or maybe you want to serve at Mega Sports Camp. 2 weeks from tomorrow, there's going to be 350 to 400 little sweaty bodies running around this place. And how many of you guys know it's pretty cool to put your fingerprints on a young kid's mind and help shape them toward Jesus? And Mega Sports Camp is one of the ways we love our community here in Fairbanks and so in North Pole in the region. If you have a couple days you want to help with a certain segment of that, check that box, drop that in there, and we will put you to work loving kids, okay? And we pride ourselves. We're a family church, which means we're gonna try to outlove any other church when it comes to kids and families. Yeah. And so help us love and put God's fingerprints in some kids' lives. Amen. Hey, turn your Bibles, or if you read digitally, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, or you download the True North Church's app, you can follow along with the sermon notes right there, as long as they're in worship guide. But the text that we'll be looking at for the next month is in John chapter 8. And it's Jesus, and Jesus is teaching. And John chapter 8, verse 31, we're going to lift off here. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what?
Free.
They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we'll be set free? Now, here's the context. God's speaking to the Jewish believers or Jewish folks, and he says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And they're all going, hey, we have never been slaves. We're sons of Abraham. And then he begins to teach a little bit more, and here's the deal. How many want to know? There's a difference between being totally free, like God sets us free, and still living sometimes with some habits or challenges we just can't quite get past. Okay? And Jesus begins to unpack this. Now, I'm not saying people are demon-possessed or they have all this stuff, but I am saying I believe there's a level of freedom some people never walk in because they haven't totally been delivered or set free by the Son of God in a powerful way. And we're going to look at that today. We're doing a series called Living Free because there are some of us in here that have the same hang-ups with relationships, the same hang-ups with the opposite sex, the same challenges at work, the same maybe addictive behaviors or patterns, we just can't. Some of us write the same thing on our resolution list every January, and we still haven't taken care of that problem. What is it to walk in? What's it look like to walk in total freedom? Then Jesus goes on and says, Jesus replied. Again, they're saying like, hey, we're sons of Abraham. We've never been slaves. And he says this, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. How many of you guys want a permanent place with God? But a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free in what? Indeed. So I could call this today free indeed, living free. We're talking about what does it look like when the Son sets us free to be free indeed. And so we're going to look the next several weeks on this thought of living free. Today we're going to talk about the three types of people the Bible talks about and how to walk in freedom. Next week we're going to talk about how to overcome that one thing that just kind of keeps creeping up. You know, see, here's the deal. I believe this. I believe God wants to hook you up, but the devil wants to hijack your hookup. Okay? And some of you have had your hookup getting hijacked way too long, and it's time to say, I don't want you to hijack my hookup anymore, devil. I'm going to learn how to walk in complete freedom. The Bible talks about freedom, and I believe this. How many believe that the enemy has a plan for your life just like God has a plan for your life? And if you spend too much time in the devil's dark room, he'll develop you. And now I know you all have digital cameras now, but there was a day where, you know, you spent too much time in the dark room. That's where negatives were developed, right? Okay? And I heard someone say when you dance with the devil, he's not the one who walks away changed. Okay? And the devil's been, for some of you, the devil's been the bully on the playground. He's been taking your lunch money and your freedom for too long. And so we're talking today about freedom. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means emotional challenges. That means every level of bondage. That means every level of controlling habit. That means relational challenges, behavioral challenges, substance abuse challenges. Do you have areas in your life that you don't want to do, but you keep doing them? Or do you have areas in your life where you don't do what you want to do? Talk about how to live free. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So how do we have a permanent place at the table of freedom? How's the table set for us for freedom as sons? And so we're going to study what true freedom looks like today. Next week we're going to talk about, again, how to overcome that one area. This series, now here's the deal. This series, we kind of line our series out in such a way. We have a plan. We call it the gospel road system. And we know there's traffic flow. And there's certain days there's more traffic on the road than others. And so we take the summer. when our growth isn't quite as fast, and we know it's the church people that come out on 4th of July weekend. And so we do growth series. We try to develop some depth within those that call True North their home. And there's other seasons we'll do other series we're more outreach oriented. This is a growth series, a little deeper. Now, when I say deeper, I don't mean boring. When I say deeper, I don't mean confusing. Because I've had some people say, "Oh, I like that speaker. He was so deep." And I'm thinking, like, deep? I didn't get where he was talking from. Deep doesn't mean Jesus was profoundly deep, but profoundly simple. And so we're going to look at a message that's going to, guys, we're going to kind of dive in the deep end today. There's no way of going without just going, hey, we're going to just push you into the deep end. And because we all, when I say we all, I'm pointing fingers back at myself. We all need to walk in the freedom that God can bring us. Paul, as we launch in, Paul writes a couple letters to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and these were corrective letters. If you read the book, it was written with a particular audience in mind, the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was messed up, okay? And so he had to write a couple letters back and forth, and he write to address situations within the local church. So when we read 1 Corinthians, we're reading a letter that was written to address a problem in a culture and context. However, those are still have problems today. We still, and there's still application and revelation that God can speak to us through a letter that was originally written to the Corinthian church. Right. Paul is writing this, and Paul begins to talk and share with them about the three types of people that you'll experience in church, you'll experience in life, you'll experience in reality. There's just three types of people. And Paul defines it this way. Three types of people. Number one, the first type of person is the unspiritual person. How many of you guys know an unspiritual person? Don't raise your hand. Don't point to your spouse right now. That's not friendly, okay? Spiritual. Now listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul begins to unpack this idea to his audience. The person without the Spirit does not accept that which comes from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. He talks about the person without the Spirit. Now, right now, that's the person without the Spirit. That's like four or five words, but in the Greek language, it's one word. And it's the Greek word, and forgive me for being a geek or a nerd today, but I want to unpack this in a way that makes it understand. It's the Greek word psychosis, which literally it's where we get psyche or psychology from. It literally means the soul part of a human being. How many know we're body, we're flesh, and we're spirit, we're body, and we're what? Soul. But there's an unspiritual part of who we are. And Paul says, hey, I just want to talk to those out there that are unspiritual. Anyone ever felt unspiritual? Okay. And so how many of you know there's a part of you that's not spiritual? There's a part of you that when you show up to church wants to worship. There's a whole other part of you that doesn't want to worship. Right? There's a part of you that wants to do what's right. There's a part of you that doesn't naturally desire to serve Jesus all the time. So that's the natural man. Some authors would call it the natural man or the unspiritual person. It's the non-animated part by God, in other words, okay? And here's what Paul is saying. This person doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. That's why some of you could be in the military, and you could invite someone to the church. They go, why would you ever go to church? That's the stupidest thing in the world. You don't need church. You tithe? Why would you ever give 10% to God? That makes no sense until someone's eyes are opened up, and they're no longer unspiritual, but now they're spiritual, and now they see things with eyes differently than the natural man that cannot see. That's why some people think you're crazy you'd give up a weekend to go to church. You're crazy you would do that. What do you mean you're going to walk away from that lifestyle? That doesn't make sense. They're unspiritual and their eyes are not opened up and they cannot see. In fact, the Bible says that the devil blinds the mind of the natural man. Okay? The second type of person is the spiritual person. Look at your neighbor and say, that's me. No, just kidding. The spiritual person. Now, what's that mean? Paul goes on same chapter, next verse. The person with the Spirit. Now, again, you look in the original language, it literally, it's the Greek word pneumatikos. So you have psychikos, which is psychology or psyche, and then you have pneumatikos, which is the spirit. Pneuma is breath or spirit. It's the animated part where God breathed into you his spirit. Okay? It's the spiritual side of man. See, so you got the natural man. You've got the natural man when God all of a sudden is on top of it. How many want to know God can change the natural man? And it says the person with the spirit, the spiritual man, makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why? If you begin to walk as a spiritual person, you'll begin to see things that God wants you to see. How many of you want to see all that God wants you to see? Right. Through his word. Then there's the third person. Now right here, it kind of looks like a break because chapter 2 ends at verse 15 right here. But the very next verse, if you read it without the chapter breaks, would be Paul talks about the third person. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1. He goes on. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not address you as people who live by the Spirit. You're not spiritual people here, but as one who still, this is a third type of person, what? Worldly. Some versions call it carnal. Mere infants in Christ, I give you milk, not solid food. You're not ready for that. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. Say worldly. Other versions call it carnal. How many guys, I can't wait. My wife is Hispanic, and I love going home to my parents, my in-laws' house, because we're going to have some carne asada. Carnal is flesh. I'm sorry for you vegans. I love red meat, okay? You can tell that, okay? But you know, what Paul's talking about here is there's something called Christian con carne. There's some worldly flesh. There are some Christians who operate sometimes with a little bit of a carnal, worldly nature. So let me break it down real simple. Paul's saying there's three types of people in the world. There's the spiritual person, and then there's the what? The unspiritual person. But sometimes the spiritual person can be worldly, and sometimes the unspiritual person can be worldly. So I want to break it down to a simple illustration here. If we want to walk in freedom, in fact, Paul says it this way. Let's look at a verse in Galatians, and I'll break it down with a simple analogy. Then I want to jump into a story Jesus tells. I want to talk about how we can walk in freedom as spiritual people. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, for the desires of the flesh, say flesh. Now, what's interesting, I'll go back to Corinthians, where it talked about worldly, you're worldly. That's the Greek word sarx. Sarx is where we get flesh from, okay? Have you ever been around someone who is super sarcastic? Do a search on what the word sarcasm means. In the original language, sarcasm is the Greek word sarx, and chasm means hole. So sarcasm is when you rip a hole in someone. So when your kids are sarcastic, what they're doing is they're finding something negative and they're ripping the flesh off of someone and leaving a hole. How many of you guys have been at the other end of that hole and it hurts sometimes? Because they don't know when to stop the sarcasm. So the Greek word for carnal is sarx. It's flesh. And so right here, the desires of your sarx, your flesh, are against the spirit, pneuma. You got the worldly man, and you've got the spiritual person. And it says, and the desires of the spirit are against the what? Flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I want to break it down really simple today for you, church. I want to break it down this way. Let's pretend if we could. I know you can't put everything into an analogy that breaks down so simple, but I think it'll make sense to you. Let's describe the spiritual life that you want to live, or your life, as there's the sharks, there's this flesh side of you, the carnal side that wants to do worldly stuff that could be unspiritual, and then there's the spirit side. And the spirit side is opposed to the flesh side, and the flesh side is opposed to what? The spirit side. There's a tug of war, right? I'll describe it this way. You have enough food to feed one dog, and there's a spirit dog and a flesh dog. What dog will live? The dog you feed. If you feed the spirit a little bit and the flesh a little bit, they're both going to be weak. And you're going to be over here going, I don't know why I can't get traction with God. I'm trying to get my spiritual traction. And it's not even winter, but I feel like there's icy roads everywhere and I can't get any traction. Why? Because there's a part of you still feeding the flesh a little bit of this, the worldly carnal stuff over here. You got some Christian con carne going on. You got enough for one dog. How do you feed the spirit? By starving the flesh. How do you feed the flesh? By starving the spirit. If you want to walk in freedom, you have to ask yourself, what dog am I going to feed? What side of me am I going to feed? Because here's the deal. There's an unspiritual part that does not make sense, but when it comes to growing spiritually, there's a carnal flesh side and there's a spirit side, and there's enough food for one. You can't have them both be healthy at the same time. Now let's look, let's go into Matthew here. Jesus, I loved how he used stories to teach principles or spiritual truths that were practical. And I love how Jesus takes a story in Matthew. So Matthew chapter 17, if you're there, it's also on the screen. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He's had seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Let's stop here for a second. Matthew chapter 17, if you read the gospel narrative, this story, the book of Matthew is a narrative. It's a story of the early the disciples. Jesus called them disciples and then began to do ministry. You go on from chapter 10 and 11 and on. Jesus sends them out and they heal the sick and they do miracles. But they come into a situation now where they can't deal with a problem and they can't seem to have any power over a situation. And I want to propose to some of you. I believe this story is a picture of some of our spiritual lives where there are areas you've walked in victory, but then you come up against something you just can't seem to get past. It's a situation beyond your capacity to walk in power and complete freedom. The disciples couldn't heal this boy. The father comes and says, hey, but your disciples had no power over this problem, this situation, this conflict. What can you do something? And look at Jesus' response. It's profound. Oh, what does he say? Unbelieving and perverse generation. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Now, how many of you want to know? If Jesus is asking the questions, how long should I put up with you? That's not a good question for him to be asking. So you're hanging out with Jesus and he goes, how long do I even want to hang out with you people? I sure hope he doesn't say that about us. Right? That's why we worship, because we want to create an atmosphere where the presence of God is here, because we want him to be here. Oh, unbelieving, he replied, how long shall I stay? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. How many of you guys are happy to know that Jesus still heals today? Yeah. Now you read that like, it sounds like a nice little, oh, you know, come to me, bring the boy here. And he rebukes the demon and it came out. That word Greek is ekbala, which literally means to cast out with a storm. It's not like, hey, come here. Hey, nice little legion inside that boy. Would you leave right now? Jesus goes, ekbala, get out of here. You've been served an eviction. Get out now. And it's the moment he said that, it left. We have a God who has power over supernatural circumstances that some of us in here have never walked in freedom over yet. Cast it out. Here's the problem and the solution. Here's the problem. Number one, write this down. You're taking notes. Problem number one, he says you're unbelieving. What does that mean? You're not connected to God. You're unbelieving. And he says, secondly, you're perverse. You're too connected to the world. See, some of us in here, you want God to do miracles. You want to walk in freedom. But you're not connected to God enough to understand that God has power over things you have no power over. You're trying to get those resolutions out on your own power. And you don't have the power to do all those stuff. Well, if I was more disciplined, if I read more self-help books, if I had more this, I had more that. And God's going, man, you're disconnected. There's some things you haven't been able to deal with because you don't look at it in the right way. And then he says, and you're perverse. There's too much world. You're feeding the wrong dog. You want to walk in power, but you're feeding too much flesh. Now, that's great if I stop right there. We don't have a whole lot of hope, but I want to go on because he gives a solution here. He says in Matthew chapter, he goes on to verse 19. Then the disciples came to him in private and asked, why couldn't we drive that demon out? In other words, we've been trying for a while. How come it didn't work? And he replied, listen, because you have so little faith. He's saying it's a spiritual issue, gang. He said, hey, there's something you got to learn. You want to walk in freedom and you want to walk in the power. You got to grow your faith. Your faith is too little. Grow it. And he says, I tell you the truth. And I always love it when Jesus has the pause. By the way, guys, I'm going to tell you the truth right now. In case you're wondering. Really? You're going to thank you for telling me the truth, Jesus. I've kind of wondered if you're going to do that all along, right? I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it'll move. And listen, nothing will be impossible. Say nothing. Nothing will be impossible to you. But stop. Conjunction, what's your function? When there's a but in there, you have to stop. Nothing's impossible, but you got to understand this next statement here. They have a problem they can't get past. They have a situation that's beyond their power. And he goes, hey, listen, it's a faith issue. You got to grow your faith. And then he says, and nothing's impossible when you grow your faith. And then he tells them how to grow their faith. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Church, here's the solution. Number one, prayer. Prayer connects us to God. See, we live in this culture when it's just kind of hard. How many of you guys want to know prayer is not always easy to do? And prayer is not all about us getting all our bags in one basket. Can I get this and this and this and this and this from you, God? Prayer is connecting to God and paying the price to have a deep relationship with God. And then fasting does this. See, prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Why could they not cast the demon out? Why could they not get past this problem number one they had? Because they were unbelieving. They weren't connected to God enough, and they were too worldly. And fasting and prayer, look at me, gang. It's not rocket science. Problem is most of us don't want to pay the price to walk in complete freedom overcoming these situations and fast and see the breakthrough only fasting and prayer can do. I told you it was going to be a growth series. How do we pray and fast effectively? Number one, if you're taking notes, and I'm not sure how much is in your worship guide here on this area, number one, set your objective. Set your objective. James chapter 4 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you have on your own pleasures. In other words, I want to challenge you to have a list. Here's a few things I put, and it's not on your notes, but you can write it on there below. Is declare your dependence upon God. God, I need you. I do not have what it takes, and I want to walk in the freedom, so God, I need you. And then ask God for forgiveness. Ask God, God, will you forgive me? Ask him to forgive you. And then refocus your spiritual life. Say, God, I want to take some time to focus on you. Invite the presence of God. God, I need you in my heart and life. And then lastly, believe God for specific needs. Here's what my prayer list looked like. I have my family. I have my extended family. I have my kids. I pray for my kids by name. I pray over my staff. Oh, and sometimes I really have to pray over my staff. That's good. They have to pray over me a whole lot more. Got a list. And I pray over that. And I pray over our churches. I pray over what God's doing. I pray over. And then I take the prayer list that comes out from every Monday. We email out the prayer needs that get written down on the prayer cards on Sunday mornings that come in the offering plate. It gets emailed to about 200 people. And I take that list and I pray over that list. This week, two things we're going to do. We're going to send out to everyone on our prayer list, as well as the weekly email that goes out on Friday. But tomorrow we'll attach to the list that goes out tomorrow, we'll attach to that list a prayer and fasting guide we developed for the beginning of the year, because we want to equip you to pray and fast. And so, listen, if you want to get that prayer and fasting guide that we'll email out tomorrow as a PDF, make sure, if you're not signed up for our prayer list already and you're not getting the weekly emails on Monday, would you check the box down here, join the prayer team and put your name and your phone number, and you'll get that in the mail tomorrow, email a prayer and fasting. Because here's the deal, friends. If you want to walk in freedom, you have to have a life of prayer. Set your objective. This is what I'm fasting for. This is what I'm believing God for. This is what I'm praying for. This is what I need God deliverance for. Here's the deal. This isn't January 1 where it says, God, I want to lose 10 pounds. Maybe you got to say, God, I want to break the power of food over my life. And it might take more than just discipline. It might take some fasting to break that sucker. Yeah. Okay, there's some areas. I don't know what your areas are. I seem to have some dysfunctional relationships all the time. This kind comes out through much prayer and fasting. And write down some bold prayers. In fact, this morning as I was finishing up the message, I realized we put bold prayers down for our church, but not once in the last, well, my wife and I have never written bold prayers this next year for my family. I pray over our bold prayers for the church all the time, but I thought, man, I've not written bold prayers. Now, I think there's hypothetical things we talk about and dream about, but if you've written down an objective thing, this is what you're praying for your family, your business, your work. Be bold. If God's your business partner, make big plans. Number two, how do you pray effectively? Decide what you'll do. Our prayer guide talks about it, but write these down if you want to know. There's four ways to fast. Number one, there's a complete fast where you fast for a segment of time with only water and juice and there's no food at all, and you just choose to fast. Now, some of you, there might be some medical challenges. You might want to check with your doctor before you go on a prolonged fast. And you know, this is not because, hey, I can fast, but really it's a weight loss program. That's not what it's about. You fast, a complete fast. And there's times in the Bible, Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days before he picked his disciples. The second type of fast is a selective fast. In the church world, sometimes we call it the Daniel fast, the book of Daniel. Daniel submitted to any of the meat that was offered to idols in the book of Daniel. He only ate vegetables. He didn't eat any bread. He ate vegetables and fruits and no sweets. And so sometimes people do a selective fast where it says, I'm going to fast this for a month, or I'm going to fast this for 21 days, or I'm going to fast this. And so there's a selective fast. And then there's a partial fast where I'll fast two meals a day, but I'm going to come back and I'll gorge myself at dinner. No, just kidding. A selective fast where a partial fast, and I'll eat some, but I'll also fast some. And it's not that you fast because you're busy. You fast to take time away from what you would do. We eat, and you go spend time with God and pray and believe God for a miracle and a breakthrough in that area of your life. See, some of you, the only way you're going to get the freedom God has for you is to break through with prayer and fasting. And the fourth type of fast I wrote down here, and you can write down, is what I call the soul fast. It's where you choose to give other things up. I've known students before who they were wrapped in, this music was a stronghold for them. and the type of music they listened to. And so they fasted all secular music and only listened like worship music for a several week period. They could not believe the change inside their mind and their psyche and their head. Sometimes people choose to fast social media because they want to spend time with God, but they're going through Facebook at 3 o'clock in the morning because they can't sleep, rather than picking up a Bible or something like that. So it's a soul fast. And lastly, the third way people can be effective in fasting and prayer is when you fast and pray, expect results. Here's a great chapter for you to read on your own this week, maybe. Isaiah chapter 58. It talks about the type of fasting that the Lord likes. The type that breaks the chains of injustice. The type that sets a captive free. But there's a verse in here. Isaiah said, then your light will break forth like dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you'll call on the Lord for he'll answer. And he'll hear your cry for help. How many of you guys want to know when you fast and pray, he hears your cry for help? Amen. And so the results of fasting, there's healing, there's holiness, there's help. God has all that available for us. But here's the deal. Some of us in here, I want to challenge you. Think about this as the worship team comes and the ushers prepare. If you're here today and you can identify in your life some areas where you're just not living free. And you're going, oh man. I'm not saying you're demon-possessed, but there are some strongholds that you haven't had the power to break out of and to get freedom from. There's some patterns of behavior, relational or addictive behavior. I don't know. Those things that you want freedom from, you might have to fast and pray to see that thing broken. Guys, we say, well, just come to Jesus. He'll make it all better. Yes, he makes it better, but he equips you with the solutions. Don't be unbelieving and perverse. Don't be worldly. Some of you have been feeding the wrong dog. And the way to break that is to fast and pray. How many of you guys know it's not an easy message, but a good message? Amen. Pray for you. Ushers, would you come at this time? Church, I want to say thank you for your generosity. We'll open the altars as we, at the end of the offering to worship and to pray. But I want to say thank you for your generosity. Again, if you prayed the prayer during the communion, please make sure you drop this in the offering bucket when it goes by. Church, I want to say thank you for your generosity. There's this time in the Bible where the prophet Malachi says, you rob God. They said, how do we rob God? They said, you rob us with your tithes and your offerings. And then God says, test me in this and see if I don't open up the floodgates of heaven and give you more than your barns can contain. And I just want to say, some of you, if you have a stronghold in finances and you can't quite get that breakthrough, and you've just in your mind thought I can't tithe, for you, you might need to tithe and fast because God can break that over you. You watch. There's something that happens when you walk in obedience to God. But today as you give, I want to say thank you for your generosity. It's been an incredible year. Obviously the board and the pastoral team, We just say thank you for your generosity because it helps us reach what we call our front porch, our backyard, or beyond. Again, if you want to give something special for Love Inc., make sure you just put missions on that envelope or give online and say missions. Everything that comes in today for missions will go to Love Inc. We support them monthly already, but we want to go above and beyond. The summer for them is difficult, and as a church in town, we want to make sure they have more than enough. Amen. They do help us where our arms stop, they start. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray you bless the gift and the giver today. Help us to be effective stewards of the resources you've given us. God, as people step out in obedience to tithe, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.